Well, we have begun a new year,
ringing in with some rain today and some cold weather coming this evening. But we're not here to talk about the weather. Though it may be dreary outside, we can be cheerful inside, and we can take the opportunity to look into our souls, into our hearts, and reflect upon ourselves and our own lives, and do as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. And then, of course, when we look into our hearts and we know that we're genuine, we know that we're true, we know that we're striving to follow the Lord as we should, as He desires us to, then we can have confidence in that and joy. But what if we're not living as we should? I hope that our conscience is touched, and I hope that we reflect on our life and we determine to do something about it. And I don't know of a better opportunity than at the first of the year to make such a determination. We fill this time of year with resolutions and determining to turn over a new leaf and make changes in our life. Well, the Apostle Paul exhorts us in several passages in the New Testament to do just that. And so this morning we're going to be talking about putting off the old man and putting on the new. Now, I want you to know and realize that the Apostle Paul, in these texts that we're going to be reading, is not talking to unbelievers. He's not talking to people who have not obeyed the gospel, who have not put on Christ in baptism. He's talking to Christians. And this is a continual process for all of us, that we continually put off the old man and put on the new man, that we continue to work on ourselves and grow and progress in life. Not sitting still, but continually going day by day into the depths of our heart and examining ourselves and seeing how we can improve and be better. And as I said, at the start of a new year, it's a wonderful opportunity to do that. We're thinking about a lot of other things. So let's begin with this passage from Ephesians chapter 4. It was read a moment ago, but I want to read it again. It says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Now, this being renewed in the spirit of your mind and putting on the new man is really one and the same thing, just saying it a little differently. We need to realize that being right with God is not just about what we do. It's also about who we are, and most importantly about who we are, about the way we think, our mindset, what we're focused on in our life, what is most important, valuable to us. We must put off the old man and put on the new man. The top 10 resolutions this year, I think they're the same every year. Get organized. Help others a little bit more. And learn something new. Get out of debt. Now, that's a big one for most folks. And more family time. Enjoy life more. Quit drinking. Lose weight. Quit smoking. Exercise. Several of these, in fact, probably all of them, are resolutions that people make on the first day of the year, and then they quickly, by the end of the month, have forgotten. Said, "I'll try again next year." But you know, there's something missing in all of this. I mean, helping others, that's something that we should do from a spiritual perspective. And more family time, certainly something we should do from a spiritual perspective as well. I mean, we're instructed to help others. The Lord instructs us to do that. And more family time. And I'm not saying that any of these resolutions are wrong in and of themselves. But, you know, quit drinking, quit smoking, those are very, very good things. If you are doing those things, you need to quit. But some of these things, like getting organized and learning something new, you know, enjoying life more, seems like those are kind of selfish and self-productive and focus on ourselves more than anything else. But I tell you, let's think about it from a little different perspective. Let's get our priorities straight. Put God first in life. That's not mentioned in this list. It ought to be, shouldn't it? That ought to be number one. I want to get organized, yeah, but from a spiritual perspective. I want to put God first. And help others, yes. But most importantly, to help them spiritually. Come to see Jesus Christ. And how can I do that if I'm not living that life myself? If I haven't put on the new man myself, put off the old, put on the new, how can I truly help others to come to know Jesus? And how can I love them as I should love them if I'm not living like I ought to live? I need to help them spiritually first and foremost. I need to demonstrate true spiritual love in my life, those around me. And learning something new, we need to study the Word of God, and we need to learn more about Him. We need to learn more of God's will for us. We need to learn more about ourselves from God's view. We need to study God's Word and apply it to our life. And we need to get out of sin. We need to repent and obey Christ. Get out of debt, that's fine. If you're in debt, you need to get out of debt. But what greater debt is there than the sin debt that we have? When we sin against God, that is held against us. And we must be forgiven of that sin. We must repent of our sin. And we must obey Jesus Christ. So if there's sin in our life, we need to turn our back on that sin. That's putting off the old man. More faithful in attendance and godly association. More family time. Good. We need more family time. Husbands and wives need to spend more time together. And need to spend time with our children. And we need to do all of that in a spiritual and from a spiritual perspective. And I need to be more faithful in my attendance. I need to be interested in and desire even associating with those who are godly. And I need to enjoy life, but from, again, a spiritual perspective. I need more joy in serving Jesus. Do we look at serving the Lord as a duty? As a requirement? Something that I have to do? Or do I look at serving Jesus as a joy, as a privilege? And I need to be filled with, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, in verses 17 and 18, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the things of the Spirit. Be filled with the instruction of the Spirit. Be filled with the mind of the Spirit. Think from a spiritual perspective and act from a spiritual perspective. And I'll tell you what, you won't need drinking. Don't need it anyway. It doesn't help anything, just makes things worse. Be filled with the Spirit. And lose weight. I need to lose weight. I need to lose the weight that I lost last year. I found it again. I need to get rid of it. And so I need to do that. But what's more important? Physical weight or the things that drag me down and slow me down, that weigh me down from a spiritual perspective? Hebrews chapter 12. The Apostle Paul tells us, or the Hebrew writer tells us, to lay aside those things that are hindrances. All the sin and the hindrances that so readily and easily slow us down, weigh us down. We need to put those things away. And to quit smoking. I need to take better care of my... What is my body? My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I need to take care. Better care of my temple. And exercise. Yes, I need to exercise. I need to get back in shape. I've been doing that some this past week. Not in a gym or with weights or anything. But with a rake in the yard. And a chainsaw. And that's been a lot of fun. But what about spiritually? I need to exercise spiritually. I need to put what I know to use. From a spiritual perspective, Hebrews 5 and verse 12. I need to exercise my faith. I need to exercise spiritual things, serving the Lord. So here are some resolutions, things that we really need to focus on. But we may have all of these good resolutions, good intentions. But how do we accomplish them? How do we accomplish those things? Well, I want to say to you that it requires a fundamental change. A change of one thing will then lead to the change of all of these other things. One thing. One thing is important. It requires that we transform our thinking to harmonize with God's will. In Proverbs 23 and verse 7, the proverb writer says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." I am what I think. I am what I think about. From, you know, my perspective of things and your perspective of things may be different. And you may not be able to see the things that I see simply because you're looking at it from a different perspective. It's the difference in our thinking. And we may both disagree on something, and we both may be wrong about that thing. The problem is, neither of us, if we're wrong about it, neither of us are in harmony with God's way of thinking about that thing. The only way that we're right is to be in harmony with God's way of thinking. And our thinking then will come out in our everyday life. What did Jesus say about the words that we speak? If I have a problem with cursing, which I don't, but if I had a problem with cursing, what's my problem? What did Jesus say? Where's the real problem? Is it with my mouth? No. It's with my heart. It's with my thinking. And I need to get my thinking straight. Paul says in Romans 12, in verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate that good, perfect, acceptable will of God." The change must first take place in my mind, and then action will flow. So one thing is important. I change the way I think. I change the things that I value in life in Colossians 3 and verses 1 through 3. I must set my affections on things above, not on things on the earth. It's where my values are. It's where my thinking is. It's where my heart is. Then everything else will flow. So how do I make changes in my life? Well, I first must change my way of thinking. I must change my heart. And that requires, how do I do that? Well, I need to turn my focus and spend my time feeding upon God's Word. In Psalms 1 and verse 1, the attitude that the psalmist had, that David had towards the Word of God, is the attitude that we ought to have. And I just want to ask you, okay, let's do a little bit of self-examination here. Ask yourself this question: do I have the attitude of David? As recorded in Psalms 1. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night." Is that our attitude towards the Word of God? I delight in it. I love it. I meditate upon it day and night. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter there tells us that we should desire the sincere milk of the Word wherewith we may grow. Spiritual growth can only come if I feed on spiritual things. Spiritual growth will not occur if I'm stuffing my mind with carnal things. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, "Be diligent, show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth." I need to be diligent in my application of God's truth. Handling it aright, using it correctly. that I may be what God wants me to be, to show myself approved before God. So it requires that I feed upon God's Word. If I'm going to change my actions, if I'm going to change myself in 2014, it's not going to occur simply by doing stuff. It's going to occur from the inside out. I need to change my mind, the way I think. And how do I do that? I need to feed my mind with the Word of God. That's how it's accomplished. So thus it requires that I understand and follow God's Word. Matthew 7 verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Doing what God says. I need to know it. I need to feed upon it, and then I need to practice it. I need to thus bear fruit. If those who understand, Jesus says in Matthew 13:23, bear fruit. And that's in the parable of the sower. You have those who hear the Word of God and they reject it. You have those who hear the Word of God and they receive it, but it doesn't take root and it's destroyed when tribulation comes around. And then there's the seed that's received among the thorns, and the world chokes it, and it becomes unfruitful. But there's the one who understands, and he bears fruit. We are to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. So, this time of year, you know, we often think about changing ourselves. Changing what we do. So, we need to change our mind. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 12, Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected." Now, if the Apostle Paul can say this, I should also say this. I haven't already attained. I haven't got to where I want to be. I'm not already perfected. But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. You see, just like Paul, I have responsibilities and duties in steward, as a steward in Christ's kingdom. I have duties. And so that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. "And brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this same mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind." You notice how often Paul talks about and emphasizes our thinking in this text, and our mindset. If I'm going to arrive at the goal that I want, then I'm going to have to focus my mind on that goal. I'm going to have to quit being diverted by the things in the past, things that I can't control. And I need to focus on the things that are ahead. I need to focus on myself. I need to get my mind straight, thinking correctly, and walk by the rule of God. God must be the one who directs my life. And if I follow that rule, then I'm going to reach where I want to get to. And that's it. How about you? Is that the desire that you have? Well, if I'm going to get to heaven, and you get to heaven, there's only one way that's going to happen. That's if we follow the same rule. Our mind is conformed to God's will, His revealed will. If I'm going to change my life, if I'm going to change my life for the better in God's service and become a better child of God, then I must submit to God's rule. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, Paul there says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." You know, when I became a Christian, there was a radical change that I made in my life personally. Was I perfect? No. But I made a drastic change in my life. And for everyone who becomes a Christian, there should be a drastic change in their life. we must determine, just as Paul says here, the world is crucified to us. In other words, it's dead to us. We're now living for Jesus. We're no longer living for ourselves. We're now living for Jesus. He says in verse 15, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." We are created new in Christ. "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." The new rule, the rule of God, is what will make us new and what we need to be. Nothing else will. Paul says in Romans 13, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." I need to put off the old man, the whole man, all of it, the way of thinking to the way of acting. That all needs to be put behind me. I must become a wholehearted, devoted servant of Christ. What about us? That song that we sing some of the time, that it starts, the first verse, "All of self and none of thee." And then, "Some of self, most of self and some of thee." And then a little bit, "Less of self and more of thee." And then finally, "None of self and all of thee." And it is a process, I understand that. But in commitment, that should be where we begin. I must desire, commit to, dedicate myself to becoming less. It's not about me. But becoming a wholehearted servant of Jesus Christ. He rules my life, not me. And so I need to put to death, I need to crucify those things. Put off, cast off the works of darkness, and put on the armor of light. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. I want to turn now to the passage that we began with in Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to look at some things that the Apostle Paul says that we are to put off. And I want you to especially listen for the language that Paul uses in relationship to how all of this comes about by our thinking, our mindset, our attitude. I want to begin reading in verse 17, again, of Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." Now, their thinking's wrong. "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God." Why? Because their thinking's wrong. Their understanding's darkened. And thus they're alienated from the life of God. "Because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart." How much of their depraved state, their lost state, their separation from God, how much of it is a result of bad or faulty or ignorant thinking? That's why they're there. That's why people are lost today. Because they're ignorant of God's Word. They are in the darkness. They need to have their understanding enlightened by the truth. But verse 19, he goes on, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness." And their conscience has become seared as with a hot iron. They can't feel. Their conscience has been so suppressed that they no longer have any guilt of their sin. And that all takes place in the mind. I mean, listen. The word conscience itself in Latin, con, with, science, knowledge. If my conscience is misinformed, if my conscience is taught the cultural view of things, and I accept that, I believe that, I'm not going to feel guilty when I sin. Fornication is not going to cause any guilt at all if I've been taught and I believe that it's okay. My conscience must be taught correctly. Well, their conscience, they were in darkness. They were in ignorance. And thus, their conscience, it wasn't affected at all. He says then in verse 20, "But you have not so learned Christ." These people have been taught now. They've been taught differently. And what they've been taught is very differently from what they knew before. But they've been taught. He says, "If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you may put and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true holiness and true righteousness and holiness." So I need to renew my mind. If I'm going to be what God wants me to be, then I need to change my attitude, which will result then in changes in behavior. The old man is described in this text. They were futile in their minds, their understanding was darkened, alienated from life, ignorant and blind, past feeling. They served lewdness, worked uncleanness with greediness, and they grew more and more corrupt because of their deceitful lust. They'd been deceived. They believed the lie. And thus the result. In verse 25 he goes on and he talks about the behavior. Thus lying, harboring anger and vengeful thoughts, giving the devil a place in their life, and stealing and corrupt words, grieving the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, listen, God doesn't want people to be lost. And it grieves God. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. All of the blindness, the darkness of heart and mind produces evil, sinful actions. Why are people lost? And thus, you have not so learned Christ, but put on the new man. That comes through teaching, through instruction. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. We are to change, no longer be liars, and be angry and do not sin. Yet there's nothing sinful in anger of itself. It is the vengeful harboring of anger that leads to bitterness. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, he says. We can be angry, but don't sin. Righteous indignation. Jesus was angry, was he not? John chapter 2, when he drove those people out of the temple, he made a whip of cords and he drove them out of the temple, turned over the tables, scattered money. But he did not sin. Bitterness, anger can lead you down the wrong road. It just affects our mind. Turns into bitterness and revenge, hatred, stealing. There's a complete change in our life because we have changed our mindset. We're looking at things differently. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. My speech needs to be pure and profitable. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And on the flip side of that, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. The attitude leads to correct behavior. And listen, I shouldn't be kind to you just because, okay, I read the passage. I know what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, you know. If you're good to somebody that's been wronging you, then you're pouring coals of fire on their head. That's what I want to do. I want to heat those coals of fire on their head. So I'm going to be nuts. That's not the attitude. That's not the point that Paul's making anyway. We need to simply be kind because that's who we are. We've developed the mindset of Christ. tender-hearted, forgiving one another. This is who we become. Another passage
along the same lines is found in Colossians chapter 3. And it begins in verse 1 where Paul says, if then you were raised with Christ, you're a Christian. Seek those things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. You see, that's our responsibility. We make that choice. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory.
I need to seek those things that are of God. I need to set my things on the things that are of God. That's where my desire, my affections need to be. That's my mindset. Okay? Now, the earthly mind, Paul goes on in verse 5, beginning there in Colossians 3 in verse 5. He says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication.
Now, I wanted to say to you that sex is something that God instilled in mankind for procreation. There's a purpose behind it. God gave it to us. And there are laws governing it.
We must follow God's law. Only in marriage, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, is sex authorized by God. No other place. In marriage, one man, one woman, for life. God's plan.
Uncleanness. Passion. Just going on reading this, evil desires and covetousness, which is idolatry. And anger, verse 8. Already saw that in Ephesians chapter 4. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Excuse me. Do not lie to one another. All these things must be put off. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds, you are in Christ. Now, there is a way that you are to live. How are you going to live that way? Well, you're going to have to change your mind. You're going to have to develop the state of mind that Christ has. That's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. You're not going to be humble and living in peace and harmony with your brethren, submitting to one another in love, unless you have the mind of Christ. His attitude and disposition. State of mind. In verse 10, Paul goes on, he says, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Well, where does this new mind come from? Again, it comes from the Word of God. It comes from the knowledge of God's Word. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Now, here in Colossians, you have a very clearly distinguishing line between those things that are wrong and those things that are right. The things that we're to put on, the things that we're to put off, and the things we're to put on. And you know what? Each of these things that we're told to put off, it's not that we just change our life and throw these things away and stop doing those things and leave a big void in our life and in our mind. No, we're not just to put them off. We're to put something else in their place. What happened to that man that the demon was cast out of? Jesus cast the demon out. And it was all swept and clean. But then, what happened when these other demons came in? Found this empty place. He was worse off afterwards. Why? Because he did not take care of himself and left that void. We leave ourselves open so many times to Satan coming into our life because we're not busy enough doing the things we ought to be doing. We must exchange. We must throw away the old and the bad, the rotten, and we must put on that which is good. Put on mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Just as Christ forgave us, we must also do. Most importantly, verse 14, But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Love.
Love is a choice. We choose what we value, what we treasure. We make that choice. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that is by filling our mind with the things of God. Doing the things that God would have us to do. That is how we let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And be thankful. Worship. Verse 16. Singing. Grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And submitting to the authority of Christ in everything. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you put off the old man, you put on the new. You know what? By the time you're finished, you're a completely different person. You are a changed individual. Not just outside. Not just what you look like. But who you are. That's the whole process. That's what the Lord wants us to do. And I tell you what, if you're going to grow spiritually, if you're going to be the person that God wants you to be this year, then there's only one way to do that. Wholly, completely, devote your life to being the person that God wants you to be. It requires that we transform our thinking to harmonize with God's will in everything. It requires that we change the way we think. It requires that we feed upon God's Word. It requires that we understand and follow God's Word. That's essential. How do we put away things of the old and put on things of the new? It starts with our mind. What we feed upon. What we desire. Repent. And seek God's forgiveness. Let me throw these out real quickly. Some things that we need to do if we're not doing them currently. We need to make these commitments. This year, if there's sin in my life, repent and seek God's forgiveness. And no longer allow that to have any control over me. If there are those whom I have hurt, as the Lord said, I need to seek forgiveness from them. And as it depends on me, I need to strive to live at peace with all men. If I've wronged somebody else, I need to go to that person and I need to correct that. I need to fix whatever relationships I can in my life. If I've wronged somebody, fix it. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. This is one of the hardest things to do. If there's been sin in my life, I've messed up, but I want to change, I want to do what's right, and I've been doing a pretty good job of it. I'm moving in the right direction. You have to forgive yourself and be faithful to the Lord from that day forward. Forgive those who have hurt you and ask for your forgiveness. You know, if someone has come to you and asked you to forgive them, you must, if you're going to please Christ. Now, either way, even if they haven't come to you, there should be no grudges. You cannot allow that to hold you down. Anger, bitterness, vengeful thoughts, put them all away. Forgive whatever grievances you have. Commit to being faithful to God, no matter what. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never rendered obedience to Jesus Christ. Well, if you've heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ, if you know what you need to do, then you need to act this morning. If you haven't acted yet, you need to. Jesus said the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, the truth shall make you free. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Have you heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe that He died, that He was buried, that He rose again, that He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and that you must submit to Him? Do you believe that? Do you believe
in Christ? Do you, and have you repented of your sins? If you haven't, why not? Repent. Turn away. Put off the old man. Put on the new. That's a change of mind. Repentance. That's what we're talking about. What we've been talking about. Repent. Change your mind. And confess that Jesus is the Christ and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. Galatians 3:26 and 27. Ye are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Put on Christ this morning in baptism if you haven't. And then live for Him who died for you. There's your motivation. Jesus died for you to, that you may be raised to walk in that newness of life. Romans 6, 3-6. Why not submit to His will? And give your life to Him. Give your mind to Him. All of it. Is there anything we can do to help you in your strive to serve God? Won't you come? Together we stand.